my feet, they are traveling on, and sometimes all the clouds are dark and low. But I've got to keep the faith and walk that straight and narrow way to reach that place that I will call my home. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then, reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, a place I long to be. So many hold this old world so dear, but I am just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven, it will be mine. I'll watch and pray, for it could be just any day. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then,
reunions by the millions
everywhere. But the one that I so long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, a place I long to be. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. A place I love to be. Oh, that's my home.
Bibles this morning, want to turn with us over in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, we feel the Lord has laid on our heart for this service. The 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. So good to be in the house of the Lord. How many has been blessed in the Lord this week? Amen. Been led by the Spirit of God, you're blessed. Look at the one next to you and say, life is not in things. There's people out there this morning even searching for things that will try to make them happy. It's not in the things. Amen. Jesus said here in Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, in verse number 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to serve you, to be here, God, to carry this gospel, Lord, the calling that's in our lives. We thank you for entrusting us with this. And Father, we ask this morning, Lord, that we would do our very best to please you and that you've entrusted us with. Speak to us today, Lord. Help us to realize in the day that we live when, Lord, it's so much around that we possess that, Lord, it doesn't get a hold to us and possess us. And Father, we just love you today. Teach us something, Lord. Each one of us, teach us at least one thing today in this service, Lord, that would help us in our everyday life. And I love you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is not in things. Covetousness, it means greediness. It means eager for gain. It means a desire to have more. And it's always in a bad sense. You know, it's nothing wrong with having nice things. I believe that God would bless us with, you know, a heart's desire, he tells us, if we delight ourselves in him. Amen. In fact, I believe that God's people are to be the most blessed people upon this earth. And that we need to put God first in all these things so that, you know, so that God would get the glory out of it. I see so many people out there working and 7 days a week and has no time for God and cannot obtain and cannot achieve what I see some people that, you know, tithe and give their tenth of their money and their time unto the Lord, and God blesses them. And it's like, you know, they like having to do nothing for it, and it's just there. But that's what God said. He said, if we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things would be added unto us. But the thing of covetousness is when we are greedy with it or have an eager desire for gain or desire to have more. In other words, it consumes our life that we've got to achieve and want more. That's called covetousness. And what it does, it takes our eyes off of God and puts it on things. And that's where we begin to get wrong. We're putting those things as our God and we're putting them ahead of God. And it becomes wrong. He says in verse number 1 of the 12th chapter, he says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He's saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Then again he said in verse 15, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And then he puts forth a parable, a man with six eyes. It says in verse 16, and he spake unto a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I, there's one I, do? Because I, there's two, have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, as the fourth one, and build greater. And there will I, five, bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I, six, will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, what did he say? Thou fool. Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Remember the story of the camel, you know. It says, how hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes these earthly possessions can end up being a curse to us if we begin to, you know, covet after these things. Amen? You know, it said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. But it didn't say it's impossible. But it says that if we would concentrate like that camel and get all the burden and the load off of him and humble ourselves and get down on his knees, he could crawl through the sheep gate. Amen. We understand what he's saying. Covetousness we're talking about this morning. Covetousness. He says in verse number 1, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, what was the Pharisees? It says in Luke's gospel in the 16th chapter, verse 14, it says, and the Pharisees also who were, say it, covetous. There was covetous. The Pharisees were. And he says, be aware that this covetousness would be like leaven and would leaven into your life and become part of your life, if you will. That's what he's saying. The description of that sin which he warns them against, it is leaven of the Pharisees. It is leaven. It is spreading as leaven, pushing itself into the whole man. You know, leaven in bread, if you put bread that's got leaven in it, you know, some of you ladies cooks with it, I guess, and you put it in a refrigerator and it just begins to grow. And if you don't get it out of your refrigerator, it'll take over your refrigerator. Amen? It just keeps growing. And that's what covetousness does. Covetousness is this leaven that will continue to grow in our life. And if we don't get it out of our life, we want more and more and more and more. And we'll never be satisfied. It gets control of us. Pull you away from the things of God. Amen? It is swelling and souring as leaven. For it puffs men up with pride. Doesn't covetousness do that? It embitters them with malice and makes their service unacceptable to God because all these other things are ahead of God. It is the leaven of the Pharisees. It is the sin they are most of them found in. He said, take heed of imitating them. Be not you of their spirit. Do not dissemble in Christianity as they do in Judaism. Make not your religion a cloak for maliciousness as they do. Covetousness, the reason of it, or the argument to enforce this caution, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. In other words, our happiness and comfort does not depend upon having a great deal of wealth in this world. Did you hear what I said? Happiness is not what we own. So many people say, well, if I could get a new car, I'd be happy. Or if I could get a new house, I'd be happy. Or if I could get a new mate, I'd be happy. No, if you're not happy in the state you're in, nothing else will satisfy you. What you need is God. So often, happiness comes from within, in our soul, amen? Happiness don't come with flesh. And the worldly things can never satisfy the soul of man. It only satisfies the flesh of man. The soul of man, the only way the soul of man can be satisfied is the things of God. Amen. So if we, you know, when we try to satisfy with the worldly things, it doesn't work. Amen. He said in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Amen. He says there in this chapter, he's talking about the perilous times coming in the church world and in the world. He says here in verse 2 that men shall be lovers of their own self. And what's the first thing he says? Men that love their own self are covetous people. When you hear people start like this man here with six eyes and they begin to say, I and me and myself and what I want to do and I'm going to do this, they're covetous people. If you find in your vocabulary that you're talking more about yourself, then my friend, you need to check up. You got some covetous feelings in you. When it's all about you, never about anybody else, it's about you. You're full of covetousness, and you need to get that out, because that's one of the Ten Commandments. I shall not covet. Amen. So we understand. It also says there in the same book of Timothy that men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Pleasures satisfies the flesh, not the spirit. Amen. Look where covetousness is in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. And we know this verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Is any fornicators in here this morning? "Nor idolaters." Is any idolaters? "Nor adulterers." Is there any adulterers in here this morning? "Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves." Any thieves in here this morning? "Nor covetous." Look here. He put it right in the middle of all these other things. Maybe we're not an adulterer, and maybe we're not a thief this morning, but if we have covetousness, we're just as guilty as the rest of these in here, because covetousness is right in the middle of it. It's right there. It's just as big a sin as all the others. Whether you're a reveler or a drunkard or extortioner, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So we need to look up. Hebrews in the 13th chapter, verse 5, he says, Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, I told you a while ago, if you find yourself in your conversation, I, me, myself, huh? It's all about me. You better watch out. He said, let your conversation, let what comes out of your mouth. See, covetousness comes from within. And what comes out of your mouth, if it is, you need to get it out of there. Because he said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Amen. Be happy with the things that God has blessed you with. Colossians 3 and 5, it talks about covetousness is idolatry. Because you're putting things ahead of God. When we covet things, it will sooner or later distract us somehow from the things of God. Amen? How many believes that? Things that we got to have. We just got to have these things. You say, well, it'll cost you a lot. Well, I've got to have it, so I'll just have to pay the price. And if I had to get 3 or 4 jobs. Yeah, it'll pull you away from the things of God. It'll occupy all your time. It'll consume you. Because you got to have more. Amen? Got to have more. Do you think this man here in this 12th chapter of Luke was a happy man? Do you think the man with 6 eyes that I just read this story, that he says that he'd tear down his barn and he'd build bigger barns? You think he is happy? No. Do you think he was content? No. Else why he was wanting to tear down bigger barns and build bigger barns? Because I believe that he was wanting more gain. He was wanting more and more. He had plenty for set up for many years. He could sit back at ease. Because he said here, I'll build bigger barns. And with what he had, he says, I'll sit back for many years. And what did he say? Many years, and I'll take down ease and eat and drink and be merry. He already had it made. Yet he wanted bigger barns so he could get more. You see, it's never satisfied. We're never satisfied. Yes, that's what I read up there. It's covetousness is greediness. We're never satisfied with what we have. Contentment. Contentment is being satisfied with what we have. Amen. I'm not telling you this morning, don't go buy your new car, or new house. Or you're missing the whole point of the thing. But when that becomes your God and you can't do the things of God because you got to do these things, then it's turned into covetousness. Amen. See the empty spaces in here this morning? I wouldn't doubt that there might be some covetousness in someone's missing. Some is sick and some is out of town. I understand. But what do you think? What do you think? You see the old saying that the world says that he that has the most toys wins. And that's not the case. It's not the case at all. See it in some of these scriptures, fix to read you. You see, this young man thought, like many today, that life consists in the things he possesses. But what happens, you know, things start possessing the people. You get out today and ride through some of the neighborhoods. Now, today might be different. They might be at the Somerville Festival. I guarantee you go up there and you can't hardly walk down the street. Right now, at this time, when they need to be in the house of the Lord, they're there. I guarantee you go up there right now and you can't hardly get through the streets. But you go through some neighborhoods on just a general Sunday, and people are out there cutting their grass. They're out there painting their house. They're out there doing the, you know, the everyday repairs because, you know, they have to work 6 days a week to pay for that thing. Amen? Amen? Why not just get a smaller house? Come on. I talked with a young couple about getting married the other day, and I told them, I said, if you have credit cards, I must have hit them because they didn't really respond back too much. I said, if you got credit cards and you can't pay them off, you can't pay them things off at the end of the month. Like if you go and charge your gas and different things, and when the bill comes in, you pay it off right then. It's zero interest. That's well and good if you're doing it that way. But if you can't pay it off at the end of that month, cut them things up. They kind of got quiet. Young people. I said, well, that's one of our goals. We're going to work before we get married. We try to work and get our credit cards paid off. You should not have a balance on a credit card. 28% interest is stupid. Amen? If you like paying that, come and let me loan you some money. Amen. Glory. Ain't God good? Jesus called this man a fool. A fool. Evidently, this was a young man, because he said that he had it made for many years. So he was a young man and thought he had plenty of time to do what he wanted to. He wanted bigger barns, so he set his mind on getting more. It's never satisfied. He was without contentment. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. Proverbs 15 and 16 says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Look at that first word, better. How many likes to live better? How many wants to live with trouble? Anybody here want to live with trouble? Well, if we want to live better, then it says better is little with the fear of the Lord. Wow. To have little with the fear of the Lord is better than great treasures and trouble therewith. How many agrees with that? Why don't we do that then? Amen. Proverbs 16 and 8. He says, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. How many agrees with that? Amen. Psalms 37, 16 says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Did you hear that? I mean, this is from Solomon, the wisest man other than Christ that walked on this earth. If I'm going to listen to anybody, I want to listen to a wise man, don't you? And he tells me that a little that a righteous man hath is better than riches of many wicked. You might think this morning, compared to some of the great riches of the men that's in this world that got all kind of money and possessions and all the stuff, and they're sinful, wicked men, God looks at it that you are better off in your state than they are in theirs. You're more happy. Wow. God looks on you with more favor. 1 Timothy 6 and 6, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. You ought to do your study on contentment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Hey, if I got shelter and I got clothes and I got something to eat, man, we just got it made. When we get in trouble, it's when we try to compete with the world. And we want those things of the world. And we set our sight. Good story of that is over in the book of Ruth. Y'all know the story there. With Elimelech and Naomi. And Naomi and Elimelech kind of got their eyes on the things of the world. And they wanted to go over to Moab country. What a big jobs and big money. And boy, we'll get us a big house and all this stuff. Because over here, it seems like in Israel, you know, there's a famine. And you know, we just got little stuff over here. But over there, we got big stuff. And they go out over to the Moab country. You know the story. Maybe the husband gets a job and the boys gets a job. And boy, they got it made. And boy, the money is raking in. And boy, got their sights set on a new car and new houses and new all this stuff, you know. And they get a knock on the door and their husband's dead. Wow, we didn't have much over there, but I have my family. It wasn't much, but at least I had my husband. Then the sons come dragging these Moabite women in. Wow. At least over there could have got an Israelite, a Jew girl. The sons die. Y'all know the story. And she headed back, her and Ruth. Changed her name to Mara. Said she came out full and she came back empty. Wow. Of course, a happy ending to the story. Read the book when you get home. Ruth meets Boaz and has a child and becomes the grandmother of David, King David. Amen. It's a good, happy ending. But nevertheless, tough lesson. Amen. Psalms in the 14th chapter. What is fool? Jesus called this young man a fool. Fool. What does fool mean? It means a stupid person. I guess I've been a fool a few times in my life. What do y'all, I've done some dumb things. Have y'all? It means a senseless act. Psalms in the 14th chapter, verse 1, he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now that there is and that there is added, it really says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. I ain't got time for you. Don't want you right now. I got all this other stuff I got to do. Amen? I'm coveting after all this other stuff, and I've got to do all this other stuff. And then, Lord, when I finish all this, then I'll do what you want me to do. Lord, I've got all this to take care of it, and I'm too tired to go to church. I'm too tired to do a work. I can't do a work in a church call because, Lord, I never know what minute I'm going to have to be going over here doing this. Got too many irons in the fire, Lord. Psalms in the 53rd chapter, verse 1, he says the same thing. The fool had said in his heart, no, God, no, no. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding. Someone that's, what's a fool again? It's a stupid person. People that do senseless acts, they don't want understanding. Why? Because they want their heart to discover itself. In other words, they want to do their own thing. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to try to satisfy myself. It's about me, myself, and I. I preached a message one time about that. Me, myself, and I. It's all about me, Lord. I don't want understanding. No, I want to just remain and do these senseless acts and be stupid because I want to do it my way. Amen. It's called covetousness. That's what it's all talking about. But we're called to be Christians. Amen? How many Christians we have in the house? Three? No, that's more than that. How many Christians we have in the house? What's Christian? That means a follower of Christ. Amen? That's what it means. In fact, I've got a definition here somewhere. It says, it's a follower of Christ. It means loyal to Christ. Are we followers of Christ? Are we all in here that raised our hands? Are we loyal to Christ? Think about it. Are we loyal to Christ? That'd be a good word to do a study on, loyalty. Amen? Are you loyal to Christ? That's a Christian. That's the definition of a Christian. It says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Acts, those taking notes, Acts 11:26. Why was they called Christians? Because they was loyal to Christ. They was followers of Christ. In other words, they saw them and they made people think of Christ when they saw them. They was carrying on the work of Christ. That's why they call them Christians in Antioch. Paul, before King Agrippa, as he was listening to Paul, he said, Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. In other words, you almost persuaded me to be a follower of Christ. You almost persuaded me to be loyal to Christ. But my question is, what had a hold on him that he would not be a follower of Christ? And what has a hold on any of us in this room today that we cannot be loyal to Christ? That's what a Christian is. Loyal. Our loyalty should be number one to God. I tell people, and I told the young couple the other night as I was talking with them, I said, I asked them, was they in church or did they go to church? And they said, well, not recently. So the girl said that she did coming up and was always in church. I says, well, a marriage I would not give you a plug nickel for if it doesn't have the Lord. It's too much in the world, it'll be against it. I said, but if you'll take it, put God the nucleus of your home and let everything else revolve around God, God will bless it. And that happens in our lives, that nothing can come before God. God has to become first. And if we're going to be Christians and loyal to Christ, loyal. Husbands, listen, do you want your wife to be loyal to you? Or do you want them just whenever they got time to come and be with you? Rest of the time is off with these other guys. Do you want that? No. Wives in here this morning, do you want your husband to be loyal to you? Amen. Do you want them to be follow you around in the store? Followers of. Do you want them to be loyal or just, you know, just whenever they get a chance, you know, rest of the time, all these other women, all these other things going on. I've even heard of people separating because their husband was too much wrapped up in hunting or fishing. Amen. They wasn't loyal to their wife. Amen. So it ends in, you say, well, that's horrible. That a man never spent any time with his wife and never done anything with his wife. That's awful. Don't shout out of the pew back there, Sister Wanda. Her fault. She is pointing. Or she has a solid, I think it's a solid amen. Don't start a war. Amen. Don't feel bad, Brother Anthony. She gets me too sometimes. How many believes we've got to put God first? Anything, then if we don't, then we become guilty of covetousness. Wanting these other things ahead of God. It becomes a God to us. Amen? Almost, Paul, you persuaded me to be loyal to Christ, but I've got something else that's hindering me and got a pull on me that I can't. Caught between the two. Would that hit any of us in here today? Well, Brother David, I hear what you're saying, but I got me an excuse. Huh? What is an excuse? What is this, Connie? A reason wrapped up in a lie? Wow. Excuses why we don't serve the Lord with all, is what it said, right? All of our heart and all of our mind and all our soul and all our strength. That's the only way to serve the Lord. I mean, you can't serve Him any other way. He says, when they came to Jesus and they said, what's the great commandment? And he said, trying to trick him up, you know, which of the 10 commandments is the greatest? And Jesus said, the first is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. And the second is likened to the first, love thy neighbor as yourself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if I love God with all my heart, I'm going to put him first. And if I don't put him first, I don't love him with all my heart. I've broken the first commandment. With all. God has to be first. He said in Hebrews, he's a jealous God. How many women in here is jealous? Come on, ain't nothing wrong with that. Sister Connie and I went by the hospital yesterday and we left there and went over to Ye Old Fashion and got us a hog trough. How many knows what that is? Pig trough. That's what it was. Pig trough. I'm sorry. Pig trough. Yeah. Pig trough. Huh? We got in there and they had this wide table and we were going to share it, you know, and it's so wide I'd have to be bringing it across. I said, sit over here this booth and it's I don't like booths, but it had a skinny table where we could just eat right there. And she said, can't sit over there. It was a lady over there and her dress was super short and all kind of crazy stuff. I said, I'll sit with my back to her. Of course, that didn't do either. She got me over that other corner. Why? Amen? I don't want to see it. I'm going to put my back to it. Amen? She's jealous. Oh, she looking out my soul. Oh. What's that thing wrapped in a lie? Reason wrapped in a lie. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, you better listen, ladies. You better watch your man. Fellas, you better watch your woman. Some dogs out there in the world. Amen. It is. Help us, Lord. What's the excuse? Remember where Jesus tells the story? He says that a man made a supper and bid many to come, and they all made excuses. One of them says, well, have me excused. You know, Brother David, I'd be there. You know I'd be there. But I bought this piece of ground, and I need to go check it out. So, okay. And I said, well, Brother David, you know you can count on me. You know you can count on me. I'm there for you, Brother David. But I bought this oxen and I need to go check it out. Could you have me excused, Brother David? And Brother David, you know you can count on me. I'll be there. I'll be your back, Brother David. I'll be there. I'll be the key to the service every time this door's open. But I got a wife. That's what they say. That's what they said. One said, I bought a piece of ground and I need to go see it. Well, what idiot is going to buy a piece of ground and never seen it? A fool? A stupid person? And who would buy an ox and never seen it? Never looked at the teeth in that thing. Never looked at the hooves. You know? Now the last one, I might would pray for him. He got a wife. That's why Paul said, I saw one fellow one time and he said Paul was a homosexual. I said, man, you crazy. I said, thought Paul was a homosexual because he never got married. And he said in there, it's better for a man to, you know, not marry. But it's better, you know, if he can't contain himself, it's better to marry than to burn. In other words, if you're going to lust after some woman, you better marry her and don't burn. Amen. But no, No, that's crazy. I got a wife. Excuses. I got a wife and she goes with me. I go to the hospital. She went with me yesterday. Amen? You ever seen Green Acres? No. New York is where I want to stay. Huh? You are my wife? Goodbye, city life. Green Acres, we are here. Amen? That's right. Thank you, brother. He said in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them, and he said unto the preachers, if any preacher will not come after me, or will not come after me, then that preacher is going to have to deny himself and take up his cross and follow, take his cross daily and follow me. No, Brother David, it says like this. He said unto the teachers, if any teacher will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow. And he said unto them that had the Holy Ghost. Just the people that's got the Holy Ghost. You know, the spiritual people in the church, if they come after me, let them deny themselves and take a cross daily and follow me. No, he said, let them all. That means every one of us, didn't it? He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, that covetousness part, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Matthew 16:26, he says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? I preached a lot of funerals. I've never had anyone with an armored car going along behind the hearse carrying it with them. In fact, you can go to the richest man on this earth. I don't know who that would be, but say if you went to him and he was breathing his last breath and the doctor said, you're going to die today. You know what you can live on. And you walk in and said, I give you another week for all your money. He'd say, you can have it. Just give me that other week. Amen? What good is it? What is he profit if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? In fact, how many has ever heard of Howard Hughes? Ever heard of Howard? You know, as in aviation, you know, rich, wealthy man back in his day. Saw a documentary on him. And the last few years of his life, he just went loony. And no amount of money could rescue him. And he lived the last several years of his life in one room. He was paranoid with germs. And he would not eat anything that did not have a peeling on it. He had to peel it so that he could eat it and not get germs on it. He was so perplexed. What good did it do? What good for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. Somebody like to come to the instruments this morning, you can. If you don't want it, it's fine. Isaiah, you say, well, where do we learn this covetousness stuff from, Brother David? Where do we learn this covetousness stuff? Where did this young man learn this covetousness stuff from? Where did he learn it from? You ever wonder where it all comes from? Let me tell you where this young man here with the six eyes in the 12th chapter learned it from, and where people and where it will come in through us from, or try to, if we're not watchful. Over the book of Isaiah in the 14th chapter in verse 12. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart," what did he say? "I will ascend into the heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. I will do it the way I want to do it. Ain't no preacher going to tell me. I will do what I want to do." Amen. I take that as amen. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell." Not only, listen, not only to Lucifer, but to everyone that follows the covetous path will be brought down to hell. Amen. To the side of the pit. He says, that's where Satan, when he come to take over, and that high exalted, what did he say? "If any man exalts himself, God will abase. But if we'll humble ourselves, God will exalt us." Amen. And so here we understand that Lucifer, who is Satan now, but his name was Lucifer, came with that covetous thing, coveting the throne of God. And said, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And what happened? God thumped him out back to this earth, into the pits of hell. And it says that men will come, and it said they shall see thee in verse 16, and shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms?" You know what? You know what all these heroes and all the stars and what people, you know, fashion themselves about? Hollywood. All the young people sees these, you know, the football players or basketball players or the movie stars or the singers, and they try to pattern themselves after them because that's their heroes. When they look on them in hell, they say, "That's what I was following? That is what I was trying to find happiness in? Mick Jagger, for since the 60s, when I was a little boy, was singing, 'I can get no satisfaction, don't follow me.' And he's still singing it today. Skin and bones, barely can stand. I can't get no satisfaction." Mike can do the lips thing. I mean, they're out there. I mean, you see Hollywood. I mean, you would think people that's in Hollywood and they're stars, and wherever people go, they recognize them, and it's like they got the limelight. But look at them. If they're a guy, they can't find a woman to satisfy them. They had 10 wives. Look at Elizabeth Taylor, just died. How many husbands she have? 20? Oh, there's a bunch. I mean, you can't never be satisfied because we try to satisfy our soul with fleshly things, and it'll never do. You'll never be satisfied until you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're fulfilling that call and doing it to the best of your ability. That's where satisfaction's at. That's where our heart's desire is. In Psalms 37:4, and so often we quote it and we say, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you desires of your heart." And most people just read it and say, "Well, you know what he said in Psalms 37:4? That God will give us the desires of our heart." Yeah, when you delight yourself in him. They forget that part. God is not a spare tire. Beware of covetousness. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. I said a while ago, Christians are followers of Christ. In modern times, the name Christian has been somewhat emptied from its true meaning as a follower of Christ. To some today, Christian means little more than a European or American who is not Jewish. While others have sought to make its proper use of the name of a particular denomination. However, its original meaning is a noble one of which any follower of Christ can be rightly proud of. Christians are also called believers. It means to place one's trust in God's truth. One who takes God at His word and trusts in Him for salvation. Believers is a belief that saves, is one that rests in the finished work of Christ. And it trusts in God alone for salvation. Believers are those who have trusted God with their will as well as their mind. Be followers of Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Set your affections and your trust on things above and not on things on the earth, where moth and thieves break in and moth and rust corrodes it. Come on, stand with us. Father, we just love you this morning. Father, help us today in the day in which we live, Lord. It's so many things that can distract us from the kingdom. Lord, help us to focus in on the true meaning of life while we're really here. What are we here for? Lord, help us to come to realize today, Lord, that life, and life more abundant, does not consist in the things of this life. But life and life more abundant comes from the knowledge of you and the joy of you, God. Help us, Lord. Lord, to be godly and to have contentment. For godliness with contentment is great gain, Lord. If we're wanting gain, Lord, that's the best gain to get, is godliness with contentment. Be content with such things as we have, that you have blessed us with. In fact, you ought to just raise your hand right now. Just thank the Lord for your spouse. Thank the Lord for your children. Thank the Lord for your possessions. Thank the Lord for what He has given you, and be content with it. So, Lord, I want to just thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me so abundantly, God. And I want to be mindful, Lord, God, that you have blessed me.